And Psalm 42, my intent this evening is to preach a little bit shorter, have a little bit more time in prayer, and I want to give you just a few thoughts here this evening as we have my final opportunity to really kind of prepare my heart, our hearts, in a corporate setting such as this before we enter into our revival meeting. And dealt with Break Up Your Fallow Ground two Sunday nights ago. Last Sunday night, Are You Ready for Revival? And we looked at that ready, R-E-A-D-Y, had a point for each of those. And I'm not going to rehash all of that this evening. If you weren't here, it's on YouTube. You can watch it. And But we're certainly desiring that God would work in each of our hearts. You come to Psalm 42, and I'm just going to read two verses of Scripture, and then we're going to look at a few other portions of Scripture. But notice what the Bible says here in Psalm 42, beginning in verse number 1. And it is a familiar passage of Scripture. In fact, there's a song that many of you might be familiar with that is derived from this passage of Scripture. And here's what the psalmist says: "As the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God?" I've simply titled the thought this evening from verse number 2, "My soul thirsteth for God." You know, this evening we need God. We need Him. We need God every second of every minute of every hour of every day. The reality is that without Him, we can do nothing. We understand, the songwriter said, that the arm of flesh will fail us, and I believe that there's accuracy in the claim of the songwriter. And this evening, as we begin to think about this title and this thought from these couple of verses of Scripture, "My soul thirsteth for God," we understand that the psalmist, in understanding the timing of the writing and how they would appear at the tabernacle and then later at the temple after Solomon would build the temple, we understand that God chose in that holy of holies that that's where His presence would be known for the children of Israel. Now, I'm thankful that our God is eternal and He's omnipotent and He's omnipresent, and I'm thankful this evening that we understand that we don't have a tabernacle in the sense of Old Testament Israel. We don't have a temple in the sense of Old Testament Israel, but our bodies, if you're saved this evening, is the temple of the Holy Ghost. And we understand that at the moment of salvation, the Holy Spirit of God indwelled us. And so we understand a little bit by the way in which the psalmist is expressing this desire, this longing for God. As we look at the text, just two simple thoughts. Number one, I would say this: the imagery is powerful. As you see in verse number one, the psalmist is going to use imagery for us so that we could get this picture in our minds. And the reality is that as you study Scripture and you have opportunities in various portions of Scripture to see the imagery that God gives us, and often, as is the case here, it's so powerful. The Bible says, "As the hart panteth after the water brooks." And in your mind, you can see the picture. You can see that animal, that deer, that hart looking for water. And you could look at this passage and couple it with Psalm 63 and understand how that the psalmist there is speaking about being in the wilderness in a dry land. And here you find that he says that the hart panteth after the water brooks. And as this imagery, as the psalm begins painting this picture for us, it's a powerful because we can, in our mind's eye, we can see the animal looking and not finding and searching and going and desiring that water. But then we find that just as the imagery is powerful, and I just spend a moment on that point to deal with point number two, the impact is personal. The purpose of Psalm 42, verse 1 and 2, is not simply so that we would have in our minds this picture of an animal seeking for water. We find that the psalm begins by using this imagery so that we would understand the personal impact. And as David, as the psalmist, is saying, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. In like manner, in the way in which that heart would pant after the water brooks, David uses that imagery, but then we see the impact is personal. We find immediately in verse number 1 that the psalmist says this, notice, so panteth my soul. It's personal. So panteth my soul after thee, O God. In verse number 2, on two occasions, we'll see, again, the impact being personal, for he begins the second verse by saying, my soul. He doesn't say our soul. He doesn't say the soul of the nation. He doesn't say the people of Israel. He says, my soul thirsteth for God. The impact is personal. Then he says this, for the living God. Aren't you thankful that our God's alive? Aren't you thankful that he rules, he reigns, he's on his throne? Listen, there's a lot of crazy things going on in our world. Truly crazy things going on all over our world. Things that have happened today that no doubt you've seen in the news and in recent days. And we live in a world that's just crazy. But my God lives. I serve a risen Savior. Aren't you thankful for that this evening? My hope is alive. My hope is Jesus. And here we find that the psalmist says, my soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. And then he says this, notice, when shall I, again, this personal impact, when shall I come and appear before God. Now we understand again, as I mentioned by way of introduction, the manner of the custom at that time and just understanding the tabernacle and what have you and coming and appearing before God and thus having that vernacular at the end of verse number 2. But I really look at this portion of Scripture this evening as a springboard into the thought tonight is where are we personally? Can I say, can you say with the psalmist, because it's a personal impact, can we honestly say tonight, my soul thirsteth for God? When I see the imagery that's so powerful to begin this psalm, and as I maybe hear the words of that song echoing in my mind, even as I read this portion of Scripture, do I also have the ability to say, for me personally, my soul thirsteth after God? You know, the reality is that we often speak, I often share from this pulpit that our God is a personal God. And he is, and I'm so thankful for that. I'm thankful this evening that my God knows what I'm dealing with. He knows the burdens, the sorrows. He knows the victories and the defeats. He knows all about us, and he cares about us, and he loves us, and he's interested in us, and he wants to hear from us. And we understand that universally, globally, that God loves the whole world, that God is not willing that anyone should perish. But as you dig into the Scriptures, you find that there's that intimacy with God, that personal walk with God. And throughout the Scriptures, we find repeated so often again about that reference of personal walk with God. I want you to go back, if you will, to Exodus chapter 33, and we'll look at just a few verses tonight very quickly. But I want you to look in Exodus 33 and consider with me the statement of Moses here in this text of Scripture. And we find that God had raised Moses up, and God had a plan and a purpose for Moses, and he was going to be the human leader for the children of Israel. And at this point, we know that God had already used Moses in a great way. And God had already given Moses many truths and revelations. And we come here to chapter 33, and we find that in verse number 12, Moses says to the Lord, notice what he says, see thou sayest unto me, bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast also found grace in my sight. Now therefore, I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way. Notice this, that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people. And he said, verse 14, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. And I want you to notice in verse number 15, he said unto him, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. You know what Moses is saying? I don't want to go if you're not going to go with me. Moses says, God, I pray thee, show me now thy way that I may know thee. Personal. Personal. The reality is that as we personally, individually have our walk with God just grow as it ought to grow, and we're just abiding in Him and we're living that abundant life, we desire for others to experience that. We know just how sweet it is to live and to walk in the presence of God. We know that He is more than life to me. And we find that as we understand that and we experience that, we want others to as well. But Moses, at this particular time in his life, he says, as he's praying, he has this desire personally. The psalmist says, my soul thirsteth for God. Moses says, God, if your presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. I don't want to go if you're not going to go with us. Notice in Joshua, a familiar text of Scripture, Joshua 24, and many of you probably, as we do, have this verse of Scripture somewhere in your home. And it's a familiar verse of Scripture. It's one that has gained a great level of popularity in our era of Christendom, if I could use the term in that phrase. But we find that the context, the greater context of Joshua 24, is that Joshua's given a challenge to the people. And Joshua knows, and at the end of the text, he's going to die. He knows that his life is coming near the end. He's given a charge to the 2.5 tribes. He's given a charge to the leaders, to the elders. And he's now speaking to the people. And I want you to notice in verse number 15, that very familiar verse, he says this. I'll read verse 14 with it. Now therefore, fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, notice what he says, choose you this day whom ye will serve. They had a choice. Can I tell you, it was a personal choice. It was an individual choice. Whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. This personal choice that is to be made, it's found throughout the Scriptures. God regularly confronts us as individuals. Yes, corporately, He has a desire for the church and He had a desire for His people in the Old Testament, but the reality is that He deals with us as individuals, the individual believer. And the psalmist says, my soul thirsteth for God. Tonight, are we thirsty for God? You know, have you ever been thirsty? I mean, really thirsty. We were playing soccer on Labor Day. I don't know what I was thinking. I thought I was 25 years younger than I am, and I was out there playing soccer with these guys, and it wasn't ridiculously hot, but it was hot enough, and you're moving around and running and all that you're doing, and the sun is beating on you. And at some point during the game, we got thirsty. We got thirsty. And at that moment, I didn't want the ice cream cones that they were passing out. No, why? Because I was thirsty. I didn't want some of the food that was still sitting there that was left over. I didn't want another cheeseburger or another hot dog. I wanted some water because I was thirsty. And here the psalmist says, my soul thirsteth for God. See, only God can satisfy. In that moment physically when you're thirsty, only water can satisfy. I like sweet tea. I like coffee. But when I'm truly thirsty, I want water. When I was growing up in Hawthorne, Nevada, just a small town, my dad was stationed there for a couple of years, 2.5 years. And it was a really small town, one red light in the town, 2,500 people, something like that. And we lived there for 2.5 years. There was one McDonald's, the only fast food place in the entire town. And we would finish up football practice, baseball practice, depending on what time of year it was. And sometimes on the way home, we'd run through the drive-thru, and they would try to get some waters because you're thirsty. And some of the guys that worked in that particular establishment, that McDonald's, they thought they would do us a favor by giving us Sprite instead of water. And they weren't going to charge us for it, but they thought that we would enjoy having the Sprite instead of the water. Now, you know just as well as I do that if you go to take a big drink of something expecting it to be one thing and it's something else, that kind of messes with your brain anyway. But when you're thirsty, Sprite wasn't cutting it. It didn't matter that they were offering it to us for free, even though they had no business doing that. It's a whole other subject. The reality is that to quench our thirst, we needed water. You know, unfortunately, we can look at the world sometimes and we can say the world's trying to fill a void with all kinds of things that can only be filled by God. By the way, God created us that way. But if we're not careful as believers, we can fall into the same trap. We can start trying to fill void, if you will, with all sorts of things. And we can begin to pursue all sorts of things. But you're going to find the only thing, the only one that satisfies is God. My soul thirsteth after God. Look at the New Testament with me. You're familiar with Philippians 3. We're going to look there quickly and then finish with one verse of Scripture and get into our prayer time. In Philippians chapter 3, we know that this is nearing the end of Paul's life on earth. He would soon face a martyr's death, and he had been used of the Lord to do much for the cause of Christ. And of course, we understand that Paul is the human penman to much of our New Testament. He spent time with God personally. He speaks in the book of Galatians about he did not receive this gospel from men, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. I mean, Paul knew what it was to walk with God. And yet here in the text of Scripture in Philippians 3 and verse number 10, he says, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings being made conformable unto His death. You know, when you look at Paul, and as best we can tell, when Paul faced that martyr's death, he died basically with nothing. But he said, I just want to know God. I just want to know Him. My soul thirsteth for God. He said, as he's writing about the various aspects of bring this and so on and so forth, there's a cloak mentioned, but he says, especially the parchments, referring to the Bible, the Old Testament, those portions of Scripture. Why would he want the parchments? Well, because that's how we know God, is through His Word, that I may know Him. How well do we know Him? Is our soul thirsting for God? I mentioned as we look at these two verses of Scripture that the imagery is powerful and that the impact is personal. And I want to finish tonight with this truth from Romans chapter 14. In Romans chapter number 14, as we look at this, I'm not going to look at the entirety of the text of Scripture. It's dealing with the judgment seat of Christ, and the fact that verse number 10 ends, "For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ." And obviously that judgment is for those that have been born again, those that are saved by the grace of God. But I want you to notice in verse number 12, the summary of this reality. The Bible says this, "So then every one of us shall give account of," what's the word say in your Bible? "Himself to" who? To God. It's personal. It's personal. Paul speaking to believers, "For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ." But he drives it home. He summarizes the reality and the certainty of this truth. He drives it home and concludes it in verse 12 by saying, "So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God." I don't know how that impacts you, but I know how it impacts me. It's a fearful thing. Don't misunderstand me. I'm looking forward to seeing my Savior face to face. But standing at the judgment seat of Christ is a fearful thing. And I wonder this evening, as we think about this, "My soul thirsteth for God," and we try to, in just a few minutes tonight, look at the Christian life and look at the personal aspect of our walk with God, in knowing that throughout the Scriptures, there's so often this personal, as the psalmist says, "My soul, when shall I?" Moses says that I may know. Paul says that I may know. Tonight, personally, individually, are we thirsty? "My soul thirsteth for God." How much do we really want God? How much do we want to know Him? You know, the Bible uses the word cleave regularly. We're to cleave to God. We're to abide in Him, with Him. They're beautiful words that communicate to us that closeness. The psalmist says in Psalm 63, "My soul followeth hard after thee, O God." And I just want you to understand tonight that as you kind of put the full circle to it, that every one of us is going to, by ourselves, give an account to God. You're going to give an account. And that should impact. I thought about it this way. Not only should it cause me to evaluate some things that I've done, but I think that as the decision-making process is taking place, it ought to be in the forefront of our minds that every one of us is going to give an account to God. And so this evening, I don't intend for it to be a negative message, but a positive, reflective, "My soul thirsteth for God." Listen, we need God. We need Him. Our world is crazy. Our world is crazy. My hope is Jesus. If we get our eyes on all the events of all the things that are going on around us, we get discouraged, we get overwhelmed, we get distressed, right? "But my soul thirsteth for God." We see the imagery. It's powerful. It's clear. But I wonder how personal the impact is for each of us tonight. "My soul thirsteth for God." Let's pray. Father, we do love You. I thank You so much for loving us. I thank You that You are a personal God, that You desire our fellowship. In Your presence is fullness of joy. We dealt with some of that on Sunday evening. But tonight, as we evaluate our lives personally, I pray that You'd help each of us to truly take a moment to examine and evaluate, could we honestly stand before you and say, my soul thirsteth for thee? I thank you that you're the living God, that you're my God. God, tonight I pray you'd help us, even as Jesus said there in Matthew 5, to hunger and thirst after righteousness. God, help us to pursue you, to have that desire to know you through your word. Lord, I pray that as we enter into our revival meeting in just a few days, that we would understand that each message that would be preached from your word, that there's to be a personal response. How we would take and apply and do the truth that's contained within thy word. How we'll respond to the conviction, to the things that might need to be changed in our lives. Lord, help us to walk worthy, to please you. We do thank you for the privilege of prayer. I pray that you'd bless through the remainder of the service, and we'll thank you for it. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Does anyone need a prayer bulletin this evening?